The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. And for the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times. Before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we'll be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Today on Armchair Traveler, we begin our journey in the Netherlands with Noël de Leeuw's article, Six Ways to Enjoy Your Time in Amsterdam. Now, it appeared in the August 14th, 2023 issue of the New York Times, and as a subhead reads, it's all fun and games until you're elbowing your way through hordes of tourists at Dam Square. But a little quiet is far from impossible in the Dutch capital. Now, let's see what the story's all about, shall we? Amsterdam doesn't know a low season. There's the perpetual high season, and then there are those two highest seasons, April, where you have tulips, and July, summer. Well, despite the city pulling out all the stops in recent years to limit the number of tourists, the Dutch capital continues to lure visitors by the millions. And understandably so. You're meandering along the canals 1 minute, mingling with a Van Gogh the next. It's all fun and games until you're elbowing your way through Dam Square. Well, looking for a little latitude in Amsterdam is far from impossible. It just takes some strategy, and here are six ways they suggest. Number one, be your own captain. The best way to enjoy Amsterdam is quite undeniably from the water. More often than not, a canal tour makes for the first stop on the itinerary, but instead of embarking on a tour boat that fits close to 100 people, why not be your own captain instead? All over the city, there are stations where you can rent small electric boats that suit the size of your group. Take, for example, Sloopdalen, which is 70 euros per hour, that's about $77 U.S., whose boats fit up to 12 people, or Malkomboot, which is 95 euro for 2 hours, with boats for up to 6 people. Now, no license is needed as long as you're over 18 and stay sober. Not only is it just you, the canals, and the Amstel River, but a small boat allows you to explore the tinier, more quaint canals big tour boats cannot reach, or, alternatively, hop in at night when the sun sets as the bridges and streetlights light up the dark city. I bet that's spectacular. Well, really want the water all to yourself? Well, then motor a little outside the city to, say, Oudekerk on Amstel, a small town on the Amstel River, about 6 miles south of Amsterdam, where it's wonderfully serene. Our second suggestion, explore the Jewish quarter. It's not unusual for people to travel to Amsterdam for one reason, and one reason only, the Anne Frank House. As impressive as the experience is, it books up months in advance. There are ways well beyond the Anne Frank House to explore Amsterdam's incredibly rich World War II history. Explore the Jewish quarter, which remains filled with Jewish history and culture. The organization, Joods Cultureel Quartier, creates custom walking tours at 90 euro per guide with a maximum of 15 people, though the district, and it goes through the district and will suit your interest. Alternatively, be your own guide. Explore sites like the Portuguese Synagogue, adult entry is 18 euro. The Resistance Museum, adult entry, 14 euro, or the National Holocaust Names Memorial, which was unveiled in 2021, where the admission is free. It's a neighborhood filled with history, culture, and stories, just with a lot fewer tourists. The third suggestion, skip the TikTok line. Now, since the spring of 2023, Nijan Strajis neighborhood has been characterized by seemingly endless lines of people. The culprit, TikTok. Certain food spots, whether it be Japanese sandwiches, loaded fries, or specific chocolate cookies, have gone viral. So viral, in fact, that the venues have been forced to hire crowd managers to oversee the phenomenon that was quickly named TikTok lines. There are plenty of perfectly fantastic alternatives to settle your cravings that don't require a 90-minute wait. Stop by 00 de Nui. Spiegelstadt, which serves decadent homemade shikatato, a Tuscan bread similar to focaccia. Now, for a more lavish meal, sit down at Pulitzer Garden, the secluded courtyard at the Pulitzer Hotel, along the Prinsengracht Canal, or go for an Amsterdam classic, an order of bitterballen, the Dutch fried meatballs, an Amsterdam brewed beer at Café Luxembourg at Spiegel Square. Now, number four is find bright flowers and green cheer at Amstelveld. Now, a few places in Amsterdam get as crowded with tourists as the floating flower market on Singel does. Now, cute for sure, but instead you might want to check out the little-known square called Amstelveld for green thumb tourism. In the heart of the city center, Amstelveld is taken over by a plant and flower market every Monday. Quiet, relatively depleted of tourists, and surrounded by quaint canals, Amstelveld is beloved by local residents. Amstelveld is also the home of some fine spots for alfresco dining, such as Brasserie Nel and the smaller Café Marcella, where you'll be in for a full meal or just a quick cup of coffee. Now, our fifth suggestion is explore the north. There is a small body of water, the Air, that divides Amsterdam city center from its most northern neighborhood, Amsterdam Noord. From the rear of the main train stations, Amsterdam Central, one can take a free ferry to cross the water. Now, once there, the rush of the city center fades, almost making it feel like another city entirely. It makes for a perfect quick getaway, or hideaway, I should say, from the hustle and bustle of central Amsterdam. Explore this area with a rented bicycle, that's about €10 for 3 hours. Roam through street art and vintage halls at the NDSM site, or simply relax at one of the many cafes along the water. Now, you can enjoy Café Cuvel, for example, or the restaurant of the iFilm Museum, which is at the edge of Njord. It offers, by the way, a stunning view of the river and the city. Now, the final one, sixth, is the leave town for the day. When you take a country as small as the Netherlands and add a good railway system, the whole country is yours to roam. There are plenty of beautiful smaller cities. They're a lot more manageable than Amsterdam, both in terms of size and the number of tourists. Only 30 minutes by train is Utrecht, which is €880, with its picturesque Dom Tower, the highest church tower in the country, and the Oegergracht, the canal that stretches out over the entire city. Now, you can also explore Haarlem, the small city that is less than 20 minutes from Amsterdam by train. Adults are €490, that's $4.90 euro. Visit the Frans Hals Museum, that's adult €16, and revel in the art of the Dutch master, the art of the Dutch master, or roam through the city's many secluded courtyards. And from Haarlem, even the beach is within reach. Reaching Bloemendaal, Zaanzee, takes just 20 minutes by bus. Alternatively, the coastal haunt Zandvoort-Zaanzee is just a 10-minute train ride away, and it's €2.60 for adults and children. So there you go, some fun in the Netherlands. Well, next we're going to take a train ride, actually several trains, and we're going to be going high speed. Dining in Style at 90 miles per hour, written by Even Rail, and appears in the April 6, 2023 issue of the New York Times. Now, a subhead by the editors is going to give us a preview of what we can expect. Train travel is thriving in Central Europe, and so are dining cars. Now, we rode the rails from Prague to Zurich and beyond, sampling regional dishes and savoring the views. Now, let's climb aboard. It was a familiar sound in any decent Central European restaurant, the reassuring whack, whack, whack of a chef flattening the schnitzel I'd ordered from the waiter a minute earlier. The crisp tablecloth in front of me shined bright white, and the banquet seating offered the same minimalist design as some in the region's trendiest spots. But one aspect was different from my other recent fine dining experiences. In the panoramic window facing my table, the old world landscape was flying by at over 90 miles per hour. I was in the dining car of a train halfway from my home in Prague to an event in Budapest. Despite a great service and cool decor, the meal was wildly better than I had any right to expect. A crisp, improbably thin fried chicken fillet, tender on the inside, accompanied by the platonic ideal of potato croquettes, and a craft beer that had been custom brewed for the train. It was not just good, it was spectacular. Now, much like the renaissance of night trains, dining cars are blossoming in Europe. Instead of the tired fare of previous eras, many now offer seasonal menus that highlight regional recipes and local producers. On some trains, the standards are quite high, though prices are generally affordable, with main courses often starting around 12 euros. That's about $13 U.S. The public has caught on social media, fans share photos of their favorite onboard meals. Connoisseurs argue over which railways had the best menus, rooting for the Polski Kolegi Pastowistro, or PKP in Poland, the Deutsche Bahn in Germany, or the Czech Railways, where I had my schnitzel epiphany. It is completely unlike the situation in the United States, where Amtrak killed off most dining cars on train routes east of the Mississippi in 2019. Now, to learn more, I reached out to David Ecker, who runs the At Dining Car Twitter account from his home in Vienna. The food on European trains seems to be flourishing in Central and Eastern Europe, he said, while dining cars have become a rarity in much of Western Europe. And let me give you Dave Ecker's address again on Twitter. Is @_diningcar. Dining and car are capitalized. He says, I think in Central and Eastern Europe you get the best experience, but of course, if you're looking for the highlights, then you have to go to Switzerland. With a few tips from Mr. Ecker, I planned a trip that would allow me to sample a handful of dining cars, rooting my journey through Vienna, since much of the renaissance in European train travel seems to be driven by Austria's National Railway, OBB, Prague. I would retry the Czech Railways dining car, then connect a Polish train with a Wars dining car. After an overnight stay in Vienna, I would take the super-fast OBB railjet train to visit a friend in Zurich and then take a train to the Alps. Later, I'd head home while sampling the meals on Germany's National Railway, taking Deutsche Bahn's speedy intercity express called the ICE. These are ICE trains, as a matter of fact. Now, before I left, I loaded the Eurail Interrail Planner app onto my phone and bought a 5-day first-class adult train pass for 376 euros. I looked up dining car menus online, booked a couple of hotels along my route, then packed my bag and walked to Praha Hlavní Nástupiště, the Czech capital's main train station, skipping lunch to ensure I had a healthy appetite. Schnitzel, goulash, and Moravian wine. I wasn't the first passenger in the dining car en route to the Czech Republic's eastern city of Ostrava, which was how I hit my first snag. I wanted to order an updated Czech classic, pork roast with grilled zucchini and spinach, but the charmingly goofy young waitress happily informed me that the last two portions had been ordered by the burly gentleman nursing the first of many bottles of Pilsner Urquell beer on the next table. Well, cruelly, they had also taken the last portions of the cream of carrot soup with tarragon. Well, I opted for goulash as well as another schnitzel, pork this time, with potato salad. As the barren fields of the central Czech countryside gave way to the snow-capped hills of the Bohemian Moravian Highlands, I cooled down with one of the train's unique drinks, New England-style pale ale from the craft brewery Pivovar Krost, brewed in partnership with another maker, Pivovar Falcon, exclusively for the JLV dining cars on Czech trains and available nowhere else. Super fruity and very low in bitterness, it was an excellent mood-elevating aperitif. There was nothing wrong with my goulash either. Served hot, filled with chunks of tender beef and potatoes wrapped in a thick paprika-inflected broth, the pork schnitzel that followed seemed like a step down from the transcendent version that had inspired my interest, crunchy enough to be on the outside, but not as tender inside. Now, the potato salad redeemed the meal, echoing my grandmother's recipe, a tower of well-cooked potato cubes, larded with pieces of dill pickles, boiled egg, and tender carrots, bound together in a rich mayonnaise dressing. Another exclusive bottle took things to another level. Zonovan Zonomojo Kerna 2020, a late-harvest semi-dry wine from the country's eastern region of Moravia. Moravian whites have gained a buzz in the United States in recent years, and I can see why. descended from the Riesling and Trollinger and the Kerner grape, showed off plenty mineral notes with a touch of raisins and honey, like its parent Riesling, but with its own style. I left the train feeling satisfied, not least because of the price. The whole meal came out to 412 Czech kronen, or about $19. Now, Propeka chicken and organic beer is next. After an hour at the station at Ostrava, I was ready to see how a Polish dining car would compare. But when I boarded the PKP train, I learned an important lesson about dining cars. I guess they left it in Poland, the conductor replied, when I asked where our train's dining car might be. 3 hours later, I disembarked at the main station in Vienna, famished. That was the only disaster I experienced. After a dreamy night at the city's new Hotel Josephine, I stopped for a light breakfast at the historic Viennese coffee house, Café Spiel, in preparation for lunch aboard the OBB railjet to Zurich. Now, the flat landscape outside Vienna gave way to hills followed by mountains. I sent my son a photo of the display showing the train's speed at 233 kilometers. That's just under 145 miles an hour. It felt like we were on a plane, though the seats were more spacious. As new and shiny as it appeared, the dining car was less enjoyable than the older Czech Railways version in many regards. With fewer seats, a plastic feel, and no tablecloths, crisp, white, or otherwise. Service was less attentive, too, reflected in the lukewarm truffle celery soup, which was otherwise creamy and filling, hinting of nutmeg and underplaying the truffle oil notes. A regional main course, Kärntner Ritzgart, or 990 euros, improved things. A rib-sticking cassoulet-like stew of pearl barley, white beans, and smoked pork morsels from the Austrian region of the Carinthia near Italy and Slovenia. Fragrant with marjoram and parsley, it put a point on the OBB scoreboard. Another plus was the remarkable Domaine Vachal Riesling Weidespiel Terrasson. Boy, is that a name for a wine. Now, this was developed in 2022 and cost 12.70 euros, a white wine from Austria's Vachal region on the Danube, featuring intense stone fruit, lime, and pear notes. Now, as the scenery gained elevation, I watched for snow, but saw very little until after Innsbruck. Once the sun was behind the mountains, I ordered supper, organic Propeka chicken with spatzel, that's at 12.90 euros, and a local organic beer, Schladminger Biel Zwicky, at 4.30 euros. I don't mind the cold temperatures on the lager, but I would have preferred the chicken warmer, with fewer crunchy bits of cartilage or whatever it was that was not meat. It had a flavorful, creamy sauce, however, that soaked nicely into the pasta. Now, overall, it was a decent effort, and I appreciated that the Austrian menu also listed vegetarian and vegan options. But my meals suffered from the railjet dining car's atmosphere and lackluster service as I left the train station in Zurich, as I was already looking forward to my trip to the Alps the next morning. Now, smoked trout and prosecco is next. At first, it seemed like Zurich hadn't changed much since my last visit 30 years earlier. But I noticed a number of new buildings as our train slipped out of the city, sliding in the sunrise along the Lake Zurich toward Schier, where my next connection waited. Across the platform, I spotted the scarlet cars of the Rhenish Railway and the wood-lined, century-old dining car of a transalpine train known as the Gormino. The waiter welcomed me graciously, extending his hand to me to choose any table I liked in the vintage 1920s dining car. It was just before 9 a.m. when we departed. A few minutes later, I was sampling the first bites of my fisherman's breakfast, 28 francs, that's about 31 U.S. dollars. Cold fillets of smoked trout, warm rolls, butter, jam, honey, prosecco, and coffee, along with a croissant, so hot, crisp, and flaky, I thought it might have been deep-fried. A train's vintage 1920s dining car has wood paneling, cushioned banquettes, tables with white tablecloths that show a small brass lamp with a green shade, small vase of flowers, a plate of salad, bread basket, coffee, orange juice, and a glass of prosecco. Outside the window is a view of snowy train tracks, and in the foreground, bright red train cars. It was an experience of another order, as Mr. Ecker has said. The tablecloths were cream-colored, not white, and felt soft and smooth instead of crisp and starchy. Tiny lamps illuminated each table, with foldable metal hoops next to them to hold champagne bottles. I imagine it felt like the love child of the Orient Express in a mid-century ski chalet, with the six-seat booths and five-seat tables furnished in shiny wood paneling and thick brocade fabric. I sipped my prosecco as I ate a bit of buttery smoked trout and then counted my blessings as the train rose into snowy peaks of the Alps on our two-hour journey to St. Moritz. After disembarking at St. Moritz, visiting the museum dedicated to the painter Giovanni Segantini, and sightseeing for a few hours, I boarded a different Gormino train back to Chier. It offered more of the same, only better. For lunch, I chose the three-hour course, a prefix menu, this was 49 francs, and a glass of Vanseli Heidi by Mainfelder Blanc de Noir. This was for 9 francs, an elegantly dry white wine. Now, the service was impeccable with palpable attention to detail. The buttery potato leek soup arrived steaming hot. Chicken stroganoff included yellow heirloom carrots, perfectly cooked, a snowball of short grain rice and pepper-scented sauce. For dessert, the flaky caramelized apple pie split the difference between the old world tart and as the American as recipe. Now, outside the window was a series of photo-worthy viaducts, tunnels, bridges, and mountain peaks, intensified by the exquisite cuisine and historic decor inside. Announcements in English and German explained that our route was part of a UNESCO World Cultural Heritage listing, which seemed fair. The scenery was over-the-top gorgeous. But if I could, I'd give an award to the dining car itself. Next, currywurst and potato roasty. Now, things had to come down from the literal heights of the Rhaetian Railway, but the next day's Deutsche Bahn dining car to Karlsruhe, Germany, tried its best. A non-alcoholic Erdinger wheat beer for 440 euros offered a proper phenolic and metallic notes on the boozy original and made a rustic pairing of my Linsenstoff, or lentil soup, which was €10.90, filled with Frankfurter-style sausage slices and served with an organic roll. My waiter was surly but attentive, and the maroon booths of the ice train felt clean and spacious. The lack of a tablecloth on the plastic surface became apparent, however, when the train dipped into a curve, sending my beer bottle on a slide toward disaster that I averted with a grab at the last second. While another dish, potato roasted with applesauce, €6.50, sounded fun but flopped, arriving too soggy to eat. As we approached my destination for the night, I found myself thinking that Deutsche Bahn could do better, which they did on my way home the next day on an ice train across southern Germany. The service was helpful, not surly, and the currywurst with French fries, €5.90, tasted better than anything I remembered in the snack's hometown, Berlin, with crisp fries to soak up the ketchup and curry powder. It seemed like junk food, or at least street food, might be where the Deutsche Bahn dining car hit its stride. As I approached Prague on my last train ride, the app on my phone showed that I'd traveled over 2,400 kilometers or 1,500 miles, spending over 32 hours on 12 trains over the course of 5 days. I had a much better appreciation for dining cars, but I couldn't help thinking of what I hadn't tasted yet. I still hadn't tried the food on trains in Slovakia or Hungary, which Mr. Anker had also recommended. I still hadn't eaten on trains in Romania or Serbia, which many fans loved, and somewhere out there was a Polish dining car with my dinner on it. Well, somewhere out there, I thought, was another culinary revelation. Quite a trip, huh? Well, we're going to wind up our journey with some excerpts from Christopher Hall's article, Party Time on the Stockholm-Helsinki Ferry, his story published in the September 4, 2024 issue of the New York Times. The party started an hour before the MS Gabriella ferry slipped out of Stockholm Harbor for its overnight voyage to Helsinki. At the outdoor bar on Deck 9, passengers had gathered for the 4 p.m. sailing. talking excitedly over drinks. They reveled in the Nordic summer weather, bright sun, cool breeze, electric blue sky with cotton ball clouds. While a DJ mixed bass-heavy Eurodance and vintage disco. Kids on holiday with their families dashed about. Now, ferry trips on the Baltic Sea, including the 16-hour ride between Stockholm and Helsinki, are practically a summertime ritual for many of the region's vacationers, with nicer cabins booked far out in advance. The ferries are known infamous, some might say, for their party atmosphere, and though the fun has a more family-friendly vibe during the July to August high season, there's no shortage of grown-up hijinks, no matter what time of year. My husband Mac and I were part of the group on deck 9. We'd gone to the bar after dropping our luggage in our cabin, and soon after, beers in hand, had fallen into conversation with Hannah Bachman and Anna Dahlman, two Stockholm residents. The last time we took this trip was 29 years ago, said Anna, a real estate agent, who explained it had been a secondary school outing. Anna, a hydropower project manager, laughed, yes, and we planned to have as much fun on this one, she said. A buzz rippled through the crowd as the 11-deck ferry, carrying cargo, cars, and 2,000-plus passengers, gently pulled away from its berth. For the next several hours, the ship would thread its way through the Stockholm archipelago, a dense constellation of scurries and forested islands dotted with barn-red wooden cabins and fluttering blue and yellow Swedish flags before crossing open stretches of the northern Baltic Sea. Soon after departure, the air turned chilly, and the crowd dispersed to indoor restaurants, bars, and entertainment venues. There, as the sun shone through much of the night on mesmerizing views of land and water, the party would continue. Hundreds of passengers at a time would crowd the summer buffet. Some would indulge in spa treatments, and young people would be entertained by a limbo contest, magic show, scary ghost room, and more. Many adults would drink, gamble, and dance until the early hours, and in the disco, well past midnight, I would unleash my inner ABBA. Oh, my. It takes about an hour to fly from Stockholm to Helsinki, but where's the fun in hurtling through the sky in a pressurized tube when you can take a mini-cruise? That was our thinking as Mac and I researched how to travel in early July between the two capitals. During our month-long stay in Sweden and Finland, we were sold on the ferry when we learned how the scenic route is and how surprisingly low the fares are, even in the summer high season. Since at least the 60s, the northern Baltic has been crisscrossed by large roll-on, roll-off ferries for freight trucks, cars, and passengers. As the trip evolved from no-frills transport to a more cruise-like experience, the ferries have become hugely popular with travelers from the region. In 2023, they carried 14.3 million passengers, more than three-fourths of them from Finland, Sweden, and Estonia. So there they had a lot of fun and talked about ending their trip. They were offered a breakfast buffet, but they were ready to decline with some of their fellow passengers the next day. And they were already ready to go to Helsinki. And it says, as they left the ship, the party didn't seem over. All right. We had some fun today on Armchair Traveler. Hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be with us next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, reminding you the content of the program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.